Thank you. My own. Sort of overwhelming, really, isn't it? Do I have a Bible? Oh, here it is. Sorry. It's under my arm. Don't know what to say. Thank you. It's been an interesting couple of days here. Coming down on the train is really nice, you know. Better than the M6, M40, A34, M5. No, M4. And even the tube was kind to me yesterday. And we went out for an hour yesterday afternoon, and if I had the car with me, I would have taken this person back, but I can't carry him. And you know his brother and his sister, don't you? Is he at the back? He's gone. Where is he? He's in the creche. Mephibosheth, do you know him? It's called a bear-raising story, isn't it? There must be plenty more of those. So my wife, I'm down again in a couple of weeks doing something else, but staying with Steve and Anita, so he's going to come back with me. He's big enough, actually, to be an adult and sit in the front seat. So I don't know what she's going to say. She's going to have a fit. You know. But I couldn't resist it. We were down in this supermarket, and this voice kept saying, "Steve, Steve." There he was, looking at me. Like, one can't resist a bear, can one? Which is about three quarters my size. Oh, dear. Where's that Isaac gone? Oh, there he is. I just want to say one or two things to you. Would you mind? Good. Your homework. Is any of his family here? Oh, Mrs. Courtney Pine. Very good. Do you know who Courtney Pine is? A most amazing saxophonist. When we saw him in Bristol, I'm diverting, in the Colston Hall. Do you know the Colston Hall? We got there. I was with my eldest daughter, who was about then 15, 16, going on 20, and a friend of mine was with his, and we got funny looks because you had these older men with these young women, you know. They didn't realise they were our daughters. And it suddenly starts, and he walks down the aisle playing his soprano sax and back up. And you just go, you know, it was a sort of an anointing of sense. So remember that. It's amazing. So there he is. So what you got to do is make sure he does his homework, which is Genesis 26. He needs to read that. Is that all right? You need to read Genesis 26. It starts with a famine, so forget that bit. But it's about him not going to Egypt. So Isaac, you stay in Gerar. Do not go down to Egypt. Although the pressures will be on, you'll have to get the interpretation of that yourself. It says in verse 12, Isaac planted crops in the land and in the same year reaped a hundredfold because the Lord blessed him. To reap a hundredfold in a year is nigh on impossible. But it's here and it does happen. 30, 60, 100. This young man has the ability in God to reap a hundredfold. I do not know what that means, practically speaking, but there's something about him. You know, he's a worshipping warrior for a start. He must have a major prophetic anointing. And he looks like he's about 30, and he's probably only about 7, but he's not. How old is he? Oh, he's 14. He's just 14. But so make sure his head doesn't grow with all that. You will. You a sister, are you? Yeah, well, you'll sort him out. But there is something about that young man, and this is what this Isaac did. Ishak, laughter. He became rich and wealthy. Well, I don't know about that, but I think he will in his spirit. He had many flocks and herds and servants. Well, your sister is not your servant. But what he did, he moved down to a point about verse 18, and what Isaac needed to do was reopen wells that had been dug by his father. And there's something there for you. And he gave them the same names his father had given. There's something in your generation that you need to look at and to grasp hold of, because your next generation, mum and dad, and further back, there's something about an inheritance, a God heritage, a God destiny that you're attached to. And, you know, we talk about people being cursed in the generations for three or four, don't we? But the blessings of God aren't three or four in the generations. They're 1,000. Yeah, 1,000 generations. And there it is. It's through you all, not just him. But there's something there. So what he did, he dug the wells that his father dug, which I think is really important. You'll have to meditate on all of that. But there's something attached to your family line that you need to draw from. It's almost like going back to the ancient paths that have been put in your generations. The other thing he did with his servants was this: he dug his own wells. You need to dig your own, mate. Now, there is a problem here. There are four. And the first one was Esek. Esek. But it means dispute. It means dispute. And the second well is Sitnah, which means quarrel. And I'm afraid in political circles outside of the church, there's always dispute and quarrelling. There never is inside the church, is there? I think I've just gone into Colossians 3:9, haven't I? Which says, lie not one to another. And I feel like you're going to sense the enemy will want to pull away from you what you have inside you of God. And I think well-meaning religious people might try to do the same. It's a bit like, we got David here, the worshipping warrior. It's a bit like Saul trying to put on David his armor. Don't put your armor on him. Let him go. Let him fly. You know, he's radical enough. Look out, he's going to get worse. But he's got an ability to lead. It's outstanding. It's there. It's probably outrageous. So don't put your own armor on. Advise him appropriately, but bless him and pray for him. So they got through Sitnah and Esek and then went into the fourth world, which is Rehoboth, which is a wide, roomy place. There's much out there for you to do. And God's going to lead you through this. And it's going to be somewhat contentious in these teenage years as you go through education, because you'll be drawn into the Sitnahs and the Eseks. But remember Rehoboth. God's going to put, listen, the light at the end of the tunnel is not an oncoming train. You're going to go out into something amazing. You really, really are. And Rehoboth comes. And the fourth one is down in verse somewhere, verse 33, Beersheba, which is the well of oath, the well of covenant. There's, you know, Beersheba's well, still there. It's there today. Anybody seen it? I haven't either. But it is there. And that is a lasting well. And it, to me, it talks about the outrageous blessing of God. So all of that is important to you. I can't develop it all now, but I just wanted to sow that into you, because God's got his hand on that young man. And I know he has with us all. I love the band, did you? Yeah. That was really good. It's just going to explode, isn't it? They may not want to do it my way, but that's my problem, not theirs. And somehow in the harmony and the unity, I just want to see this young bunch, don't you? So release and flow, which is so important for the next generation, because the baton's got to be handed on to somebody. And, you know, I started in my early 20s, and sometimes I get a bit older and think, oh, they couldn't do what I did back there, so I don't let them. That's not God. Somehow we need to release them, don't we? And let them go for it. So bear all that in mind, young sir. Good. There's just one more. I haven't started yet. There's just one more, which is to the lady in the front here, Mrs. Mitchell. I feel like Linda, now you need to know, Chris and I know Chris and Linda well over the years, like these two here and a few more around, you know. But I just felt this, that you're at a stage where Esther was, when Mordecai says, for who knows, God has called you for, don't look at me like that, I'm going to cry. God, I can't even get the words out. For who knows, for such a time as this. Help me, what does it say? I've lost. Yes, that's right. It's for such a time as this. That's right. And it is. It's very Esther-ish. It's very Esther-ish. For who knows? She was in a place, I've got it, where the Lord needed to release her to bring deliverance to the nation. And the key is, she was in the right place at the right time with the right vision. And you're in the right place at the right time with the right vision for a big challenge of leadership. You're there. Something's going to happen. And this woman reminds me of a lady in the scriptures. And there's been a real old dispute about this. Why is it that there are disputes about women in leadership? We won't go into that now, but in Romans 16, verse 7, it says, "Greet Andronicus," now that is a man, "and Junius," that is a lady. And I've read a thesis by somebody who proves that this person is a lady, and the translators back there turned her into a man. Junior. Really strange. Why? Because it says that they have been in prison with me. It's not that, Linda. But they are outstanding among the apostles. Isn't that interesting? Now, this lady here reminds me of her because she has got an ability not just for tactics, but for strategy and for foundational life, to lay foundations. And I just call upon you, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, that you will explode this. You're in the right place at the right time. Esther, right there. And she went in to touch the king's scepter. Do you remember? And the king granted her so much, even before she had to humble herself and touch the scepter. And it was her, at the right place at the right time, saved the nation. The issue isn't saving a nation. The issue is you being at the right place at the right time, with this anointing to lead. And I feel like things are going to change. You're going to be in more transition than you know about that. Because you're an elder, you're a city elder, basically. You really are. Not just here, but across the city. And who knows what's going to happen. And she has an ability, somehow, and some of us haven't, including me, to strategize, to see ahead with vision, but to put it into place and then lead us into something very, very clearly and practically and see the church built. That's her. So I say, preach it, communicate it, prophesy it, seek God for it, because he's got his hand on you to expand you in that calling and work with people like this lot, as you have been, and others, so that this team here is so foundational, so that we will see soon, please God, this place is too small by miles. Now, I'm not after numbers. I want quality, don't you? And I know this leadership team has a quality and a fearlessness of not wanting to grasp hold of anything in power, but will give it away to young people like this lot over here, and Isaac and the others, and Sister and Courtney, you know, and all of that. And I think it's great because this is what we need, isn't it? So there, go for it. I don't know about you, but I was so touched by the celebrations this last weekend, particularly about the Queen, weren't you? I just think she is amazing, old thing, don't you? I really do. My mum died earlier this year. She's 89. And yet the Queen is 80, help me, 6. She's a tough old thing, isn't she? Who'd stand up on a boat there for 4 hours, you know? Perhaps that's why the Duke had TB at that time, you know. Tiny bladder, think about that. But she, I just think she's amazing. And I was listening to the radio, I had an anointing come on me on Tuesday of B&Q. Do you get those anointings? Lincoln painting and stuff. So I'm listening to the radio going up to B&Q at Blackpool, and twice I heard the commentators say about the deep personal faith of the Queen. I thought, there's a sign. This is a sign. It seems to me that talking about her deep and personal faith is like, in a sense, prophetic of a sign of God's favor and blessing on this nation. And I get the feeling we're going to hear more from her about this. I really do. Christmas, do you remember? Yes. I mean, who would have thought that? So something's happening. Something is happening. And I think in all that context, there's something very prophetic with regard to the transition that this nation is in. It is in a transition. I mean, what's going on? What's going on? But I'll come to that in a minute. And I mentioned it last night. I feel like the church is unsettled at the moment. And I said it's like we've got stones in our shoes. And it's sort of somewhat irritating, unsettling, and desperately uncomfortable. But I think the purpose is that God wants us to move on into something that we've longed for, read about, heard about, but it's going to happen to us. And if you haven't got a stone in your shoe, would you mind me asking God to put a stone in your shoe? Please, Lord, put a stone in there and settle. We're not here to settle and rest in our own laurels and think, oh, this is okay. We've always done it this way. Let's continue. I don't want that, to be really honest. I don't want change for the sake of it, but it's true that constant change is here to stay. And I do believe we're in transition. So God, I think, does provoke us to move on. The prophetic is not meant to hang us around in the present. It's meant to take us into the future. And so there's always a moving on. And I think maybe you lot here, certainly we are up there. I think nationally, overall, amidst all the blessing, the church is in some sort of transition. No, I'd say the whole church and the whole world is. There's something going on. And times are going to come when people like you and I are going to be confronted with people out there who ask us questions. So I want to be able to give a reason for the hope that is in me, don't you? I want to be able to pray for people in the street. And I know that some people already do that. We've got some friends in Glasgow who go out and give them prophecies and words of knowledge. They weren't asking for them, but they're confronted by it, and it's amazing, and they're getting saved, and things are happening. I'm thinking, oh, what's Glasgow? They need it. Reading, we're all right. Oh, forget that. There's something going on, and I don't know about you. I was going to talk about pregnant women, but I don't know that much about pregnant women, but it seems to me, as happened with my wife Chris, that when she got close to delivering Joanna and then Zoe later, she was really unsettled in her pregnancy. And it seems to me the church is just about to give birth. Something's happening. There's an unsettling, there's a pressure going on. Maybe you think I'm talking gibberish or something, but something's happening. I feel it. Something's brewing. And I just want to be in that flow, don't you? So I feel like it is transition. So what is going on? Well, don't take the stone out of your shoe. Just get out your comfort zone. Just get out of it. Just move out of it. Because he is going to disturb us. Because the potential and the grace, as mentioned, in us all is beyond our comprehension. And I want to draw on that and release it, don't you? So that we actually do make an influence. Success, no, I'm not too interested in that. Significance, yes. Survival, no, I'm not interested in survival. I want to be significant, don't you? Very, very important that we actually touch society and all the things that we do, whether it's political, social, economic, and all the rest of it. It's so important. Otherwise, we might as well just stay in this place, build a ditch around it, put a drawbridge there, chuck piranha fish and crocodiles in the moat, pull up the drawbridge and sing, as we used to, "Hold the fort for Aya." I don't want to hold the fort, you know, coming. And we used to sing up this song and then wave our handkerchiefs. Goodbye, world, we're all right, you know. It's not good to wave your handkerchiefs in the winter, let alone anything else. Don't go too lateral on that. Do you know, it's a strange thing. I was talked to about 40 Koreans a few weeks back who were in Llanelli. Koreans in Llanelli. Just beyond a joke, but they were with nations, you know, the World Horizons nations. And my tongues aren't Korean, by the way, which is interesting. And why did I say that? I don't know. Oh, I do. Pardon? Handkerchiefs. Oh, yeah. And it's something else. Anyway, I'll just go on a bit. I've talked to 40 Koreans, and they have come here to learn about mission. Isn't that amazing? And there was one Egyptian guy there who's bringing a whole pile of Egyptians over here to talk to the Muslims at the Olympics about Jesus. Isn't that something else? I think they're all coming from all over the world, and here we are, sat on our Norwegian rumpas, and allowing the world to go by. There's got to be more. There's a move on, isn't there? Absolutely amazing. And talking to these, the funny thing is, they sort of, how can I say it? When we were in Zambia years ago, These wonderful black people were so fantastic. One of them came up to me and said, "The trouble with you English, you whites," he said, "you all look the same." I said, "Oh, do we now?" That's funny. Well, they all look the same. They are so beautiful. I could have taken them all home with you two. You know, they're so beautiful. Lovely, lovely people. Passion for Jesus. I thought, my goodness, they should be praying for me and ministering to me. I thought, there's something happening. It's got to happen in Italy, hasn't it? With all that lot there. And there was an Ethiopian there and somebody from France and Germany. And there we were. It's absolutely amazing. And it was just a little cameo about moving on, moving forward. But what in the world is going on? It's so disturbing. If you follow the news, as well you might, Spain is now going to ask for a few billion plus dollars, euros, to bail them out. There isn't going to be enough left. It seems to me there's so much pressure on businesses and individuals, and the whole thing is going to go down the chute unless somebody is raised up with all the answers. I wonder who that might be before Jesus comes back. Have a think about that. And he'll be proclaimed as the Saviour. And then he'll turn us all around. Maybe we'll be alive to see that. I don't know. Something's got to happen. We need to pray, don't we? People like the Queen in that wonderful position is absolutely fantastic. What's going on in the church? Well, we're all affected by what's going on outside. And, that's a nice quote. And, there's a lot of struggling going on, really. Lots of problems and lots of wobbling. And what's going on? Is it the enemy or is it God stirring us? Big question. Big question. I think God's behind it all to stir us, to move us on. Why? Because I think we are in transition. We're in a change. Something is happening. And I'm just nearly getting to the start of what I'm going to talk about. Is that... Change is coming. If you want it, fine. If you don't want it, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. I mean, there are laws out there now which might prohibit us from talking about Jesus publicly. Are you prepared to stay here and pray for them as they get put in prison, or do you want to go out with them? Certainly up our way, the police have not been very nice to preachers. Strange, isn't it? Who'd have thought that? What would Wesley have done in Whitfield and all of those? That's what it makes me do. Somehow God is going to raise up an army of ordinary people. Hello. Something is about to happen. Now, let me quote this. The bend in the road is not the end of the road unless you fail to make the turn. In other words, keep your eyes open. Be alert, because something is happening. Transition is on. And we'll start looking at it just briefly, shall we? All right, then. The shift of season, this change. It's in Matthew 14. We'll have a look at that, shall we? And there's two or three little incidences here that really do, I think, mean something at the moment. Matthew 14, 13, it was the feeding of the how many? Five, how many? 5,000 men, thank you. So how many were there? Yeah, 10, 12,000. It's amazing, really. There they were. I'm on about verse somewhere. Did I say 13? John the Baptist had just lost his head. Jesus was really upset, wanted to go to a solitary place. But the crowd heard about it because the email and the iPad 2s and the mobile phones were going. And suddenly, time after time, the crowds, how did they hear? I mean, they didn't have the communications that they suddenly, great crowds came. And he had compassion on them, didn't he? And healed their sick. Who talked about healing the sick? Somebody did just now. Should we build up to that? Yes. And evening was approaching. I'm on about verse 15 here. And the boys said to Jesus, "Listen, there's no food. We are hungry. We got this restaurant down the road. It's Nando's. And send this lot away, because we want to have some personal fellowship with you." So Jesus looks at them and does it again. He says, no, they needn't go away. You give them something to eat. Thomas says, good grief, he's doing it again. What is the matter? Why does he say these crazy things? But you see, he was up to disturb them, to stir them up, to test them, to bring them into a place where they could trust him, where they could see the miraculous happen. But they had no idea. I just love it. Time after time, they had no idea what was going to happen, what he was going to do. But it certainly put something in. I just like those times when we've got no idea and we trust the grace of God to move. Or are we so tight in our schedules that we got every idea about every second and God says, behold, I stand at the door and no, I want to come in. And as they say up north, they say sup. Food and drink, beautiful. He said, you feed them. Oh, dear. So they went out amongst the crowds and came back with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. It's strange why nobody had any food. Perhaps it's a bit like me. So, you know, I'm on the train yesterday morning about up past 9 o'clock. I'm eating all my food. You know, do you know what I mean? You always eat food earlier than you should when you're on a trip, don't you? And I had nothing left then until we got, we had a nice meal later. There they were. Everybody had eaten everything. They came back with 5 little loaves and 2 little fishes. And he said, okay, bring them here to me. Get the people sat down. And he took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, looked up to heaven, wouldn't you? I'll be looking up to heaven. And think about it. Gave thanks, broke the loaves, the fishes, and he said, right, here we are. Have a little bit each, you disciples. You feed them. Now, they'd just been out. You know, what, a little while back, God's men of power for the hour had been out in twos, preached the kingdom of God, saw the healings, saw everything happen. Glory to God, here we are. Then he sets them up again. You've got to be careful because he'll do it. So he said, I always think Peter looks like Brian Blessed, don't you? With a great ho, ho, ho. I suspect Peter is as thin as a beanpole, actually. But I can imagine these great hands like meat plates, you know. And Peter had a crumb of bread and a little bit of fish. And he said, go and feed that. There's 1,000 over there. By that time, they're salivating, you know. And so he walks over and they're all going, especially this one. Because Peter gives them a piddly little piece, you know. And they go, what's this? And all this great hoo-ha. When suddenly something catches Peter's eye. He looks across. There's bread and fish being thrown up in the air. I'm paraphrasing this. You realize that. Slight hyperbole here. And he said, what's going on? He thinks, hang on. And they're all going at Peter. Oh, look at him. And Peter thinks, hang on. Takes off a bit of bread. And as he takes it off, a bit of fish, it multiplies in his hand. The penny dropped. Wouldn't you throw the fish and the bread in the air? You know, tear it off, throw it around. Everybody was fed, and how much was left up? Sorry, left over. How much? How many disciples? There it is, the entrepreneur. That, what a creative miracle. What a creative miracle. Isn't it amazing? It really is. I mean, I just... So, they ate. They were in the wilderness. And what... They are blockheads. In one of the versions, it says, they saw that the people and tried to make him king by force. We didn't want any of that. Because we're not into force and control, are we? It needs to be purged, doesn't it? Oh, God. They tried to make him king, but it was wrong. What a fantastic time, stuck out in the wilderness. But you see, Jesus needed to move on and move the disciples on, because what they were actually doing, I think, was giving the bread of life. And we've done so much with the bread of life, haven't we? We fed people with what we have in Jesus. We could develop that a lot more. And, you know, it was a solitary place. The miraculous happened. But I don't want to stay here with the bread and the fish and make him king. There's much, much more to do. We need to move on. You're with me, aren't you? Yeah, good. And so what happened was this, verse 22, immediately it says, Jesus made the disciples. You don't hear this, read this much. He compelled the disciples. They didn't know what he was talking about. He was saying, please, he didn't say, please go into the boat. He says, you need to get into this boat and go across to the other side. He compelled them. And we need to be aware of that, because in transition, sometimes this pressure from God does come. Look out for it, leaders, because you're going to lead the people somewhere. Look out for it. And the miracles had happened. Bread of life, wonderful. But Jesus didn't want them to stay where they were. Change is coming, shifting, moving from one form to another. Changing. Are we prepared to move on? Or do we like it where we are? And so he coerced them from this solitary and barren place where there's miracles to a lake crossing. I want to be where Jesus is. So they got into the boat and started to row. What? Where was he? He goes up a mountain. He's praying. Interesting, isn't it? And he prayed as a Jewish person would pray. Head up, eyes open, hands up. And he's talking to God. Isn't that great? And he's watching. And you can see them down there. And I don't know whether some of you have been to Galilee, have you? But it's a sort of a place where sudden storms happen. With its geographical location and the way the climate is, I gather. And it may look beautiful and calm, but to the biblical writers, they thought the Sea of Galilee was a fearsome place of darkness and chaos, like the abyss. It was recognized to some as a symbol of hell. Why? They did not like water. They didn't like the sea. If you were a fisherman, you're in trouble, because few people could swim, and even the fishermen avoided the deep water. Absolutely amazing. So the lake, the Sea of Galilee, was associated with chaos and evil, untamable forces. They thought the demons were there, the ghosts were there, the whole thing. Didn't like it. And suddenly violent storms developed, like with regard to the instantaneous change in the air, in the weather. The cool air met the warm air, quick. I don't think we've witnessed that sort of thing here. So there they were, in the middle of the night, the fourth watch. You know when that is? Between 3 and 6. Anybody up this morning between 3 and 6? Yeah, I did. Was that the kids? Yeah, I had a little wander as well, but it wasn't the kids. About 5 o'clock. I actually went back to sleep, praise God. And then it was 7. I thought, I'm late, but I wasn't. You know. There they were. And they had been rowing for hours because this storm had come up. And if they'd stop rowing, they'd go back. Keep with me. There they were, rowing. Great waves coming up, up and down, rowing away and getting nowhere. It wasn't good. You see, with transition, there's always a storm. Some of you would understand that like that, because you know you've been through that. There's always a storm. There's a storm. There always is. But this, I think, and some of the writers would think, was a demonic storm. The enemy did not want them to get to the other side, as we'll see in a couple of minutes. And I feel like in transition, whatever it is, church, lives, whatever, and there's no doubt Chris and I are in one as well, with regard to our future and all the rest of it, the enemy does not want us to go into the next area of our inheritance and destiny. And neither does he want you as individuals, as families, as church. But I tell you what, there's something there for us to grasp hold of. There they were, rowing away. Absolutely amazing. In the middle of the night. You see, what the enemy wants to do to us is isolate us in the storm, so that we turn in on ourselves and get navel gazing. He wants to divide us. They weren't getting anywhere. The storm was isolating them. That's why we need each other, please. We really do. Be transparent and open and clear and communicate. And if there are genuine issues that you have, genuinely consider them. But let's get through. Let's get right. Let's communicate. And what happened? Well, he saw them there, so he thinks, I need to be where they are. So he walks down the mountain, are you with me, across the beach, and he stops, does he? Nay, he keeps on walking. Now, I don't think the sea went flat like glass. I think he actually was walking on the water, bobbing up and down like a cork. You know, if you imagine it, one minute you see his head, the next minute he's down, and this great, there he is, he's walking. This is fantastic, really. All on video, or whatever it will be, when we, probably technology is greater, and we'll see all these things. There he was, he did something miraculous, which was miles outside their concepts, miles outside their comfort zone. The last thing they would ever think of was that Jesus would come to them, pop over, walking on the water. I mean, it's just not conceivable. They knew the demons and all the rest of it. They knew that the storm, and they were aware of that, and the wind was not only around them, the wind was getting up on my concern. They did not like it. I went into Dad's army then, but never mind. He was walking on the sea. It's fantastic. There they were. And verse 26, they saw this. There they were looking, and in the mist, in the clouds, suddenly they saw this figure. And he goes up and down. And I mean, wouldn't you? It says in one version, they cried out in fear. Literally, it was a shriek of terror. Anybody want to do a shriek of terror? Ah! It's a ghost! It's a ghost! I'd go into cartoon mode, wouldn't you? You know? They'd freak them all out. And it would us. I mean, I've never seen anyone walk on water. If you remember Mel Terry's book about revival in Indonesia, I'm going back a few years. They walked on water there because there are no bridges across the river. So yeah, about it was a breeze. Something about the breeze. Just amazing. But get it on Amazon. I bet you can. Might be about £100 now. But there we are. Never mind. It was amazing. You had somebody suspending the laws of gravity. The somebody, by his unlimited power, a manifestation of the Godhead, the Lord of creation, overcoming creation, walking on the water. I can talk proper down in the south, up there, Eop, walking on water, you know. Oh, I love him, I love him. And it says in Mark, it says he was about to pass by them. They're rowing like that, and he was walking, going to walk by them. What is it all about? So there is a reason, actually. I command that clock to stop. Buy one, get one free clock. Think about that. And they said, "Ah, it's a ghost! It's a ghost!" And he says, "I think you had a brewery here, actually, didn't you? Take courage, yeah, yeah. We had one in Bristol. Are you with me? No, no. I'm going to come back now. It's so low budget." You know, why was he trying to pass them? It's like the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Remember, they were all in doom and gloom, and this person come. They all chat, and it's Jesus, of course. And they compelled him to come in the pub and have some food with them, didn't they? And what the disciples needed to realize was that Jesus was going to walk by if he wasn't invited in. Who wrote the knock, knock, knock? Do you remember? They needed to ask him in. Interesting, really. Simple little thing. Just remember that. And so, be of courage, it says. I am he. It is I. No, it's, do you know what he said literally? The literal words, none of that. He said, I am. I am. Now, that's it. It's like when Moses, remember he got a bit nosy because this bush was on fire and the bush wouldn't go out. But bushes there, because of the climate, used to burst into flames and then go out. A bit of old scrubby bush, you know, a bit like me. And this bush kept on flaming. And he goes, he'd had a little nose, wouldn't you? Who'd have a little nose? I would. And he goes up to the bush and suddenly the bush speaks, Moses. What would you do if the... If the bush spoke, what's your name? Lisa.
Lisa.
She'd run like the clappers, like I would. Even, yeah, you'd hop off, wouldn't you? I couldn't believe it. And finally, But it was God speaking out of bush that was on fire. Hello, scrubby bits of bush. Why? Because I want God speaking out of me when I'm on fire. Do you see? Out there. So Moses says, well, what's your name? You see, everybody has a name. Doesn't matter about that. Don't listen to it. Doesn't matter. It's all right. What was it all about? You see, the Jews would say, if you haven't got a name, you've got no existence. So Moses, well, what's your name? He says, I am that I am. I'll do what I'll do. I will be whom I will be. It's fantastic. So it brings identification. When God revealed his name to Moses, living reality was there. Absolutely fantastic, which means more accessibility. So when Jesus says, I am, the penny dropped quick. They knew it was him, but he was saying, ego eimi, he was saying, I am. He was saying, I am God. Flip me. That's amazing. There's seven I ams in the book of John, isn't there? The Gospel of John, you know, I am. I can't remember any of them. Oh, resurrection and life. And interesting, isn't it, Lisa? Yeah? I got you now, mate. It's to know God is to encounter personal reality. She agrees. It's nice sitting in the front, isn't it? It's his character and attributes. Now, here's the issue. We need to find Jesus in the storm. Or is it Jesus finds us? Interesting, really, isn't it? Now, something happened. Old foot and mouth disease himself begins to get involved. Puts his foot in his mouth. You are with me, aren't you? Well, you're slow there. Yeah. Peter says, nah. So he says, now why did he do it? I'll tell you why. I think was one reason anyway. Because Jesus was their rabbi, and they were his disciples, his talmidim, weren't they? Yeah. And when you're with the rabbi, you're totally committed, totally devoted to be like the rabbi in every way. Spent their time with the rabbi, listening, observing, practicing what he did. And the teacher taught them how to live and how to read the scriptures. The only difference was with Jesus as the rabbi. Jesus chose all of his disciples. Other rabbis, you had to go to them and say, I'm here. Very, very different. Very, very different. It's just like last night with Elijah and Elisha. A bit like that, really. They were to follow him, live with him, imitate his actions. So Peter thought, my rabbi's out there. I want to be where he is. I think that's what we think about as him sinking. There's more to it. Do you really want to be where he is? In the storm? It's transition. That's where you'll find him. So Peter says, it's a bit sort of complicated, really. He says, Lord, and he says, all the wind. If it really is you, of course, bid me come. Ha, 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 you know. And this voice comes back, says, all right then, come on, mate. I don't know whether you said mate. Come on then. Thomas says, you're a great blockhead. You've done it now, mate. It's ridiculous. So Peter gets out the boat. We could do some drama about this. How did he get out the boat? But we haven't got time. So he's out there. He's walking on the water. Absolutely fantastic. Jesus is right over there. And he's going. And they're up and down in the wind. In the mist and everything else. And it says Peter saw the wind. How do you see the wind? But, yeah, it what happened? Now listen to this. I can't work this out. It says, when he saw the wind, he was afraid. I can work that bit out. It says, he began to sink. Hang on. How do you begin? Work that one out, philosopher. How do you begin to sink? It was slow motion. You could go down like a stone, don't you? I would. He began to sink. It's so funny, really, isn't it? And he said, Jesus! I tell you, he would beat Superman, Batman, and all the rest of them put together. He's there like a flash. Even Flash Gordon, he's there. Lifts him up. He lifts him up like this. Gets hold of his hand. He says, Stuart, you. Did he say that? No. He says, oh, Pete, you of... That's all he needed, was little faith. And what we concentrate on is in... I want to concentrate... I'm going to give him a hug about this, old Pete, because I see so much of me in him, don't you? Not me in him, you see yourselves in him. It's just classic. We're nearly there. Clock is stopping. Absolutely amazing. Kids are shouting. He walked on the water. I think we've undermined this story with Peter. We find him in the storm. It's in the transition. Find him in the storm. What about those people in the boat? The boat, I've always done it this way. The boat, I'm not moving. The boat of fear. The boat of... I don't want that, do you? But they needed to find him before he gets in the boat. Now, I'll leave all that. Listen to this. Listen to this. John 6, another version of this, says, they received him in the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore. Now, hang on a minute. The boat's out there, a mile or two out. What does immediately mean? Correct. So that boat turned into a nuclear-powered speedboat. And went, zoom! We missed that miracle. He's in the boat and suddenly acceleration comes. You looking for it? The time's going to come. Fed the 5,000, bread of life. We're in the boat, rowing like mad, not getting anywhere. Storm, the enemy's trying to stop us. We find Jesus in the storm. He gets in the boat. Suddenly, I'm looking for acceleration, church. I am looking for acceleration for us to get to the other side. Absolutely fantastic. Something needs to happen quick, doesn't it? God, do it. I mean, there's no plan B, it's just us. Good grief. That's all right, look at us. We're all right. We're all right, we are. We're all right. Look, I'm not bouncing now. It's great, isn't it? It's great. We're all right. I walked a long way this morning. From their house to here, I walked. Blimey, was. I didn't realise how long it was. I was chatting to Chris for 20 minutes. Thank you. I was chatting to Chris for 20 minutes walking down. I didn't get anywhere. I had to get to those crossroads. It just went on forever. I'm nearly there. Oh, the boat was on the lake. Suddenly it was there. This is transition with opposition and acceleration. But it's Jesus is the key. Are you with me? Right, here we go then. When they crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret, verse 34. Do you know what that means? The place of abundance. The place of abundance, where fruit and vegetables and all the crops that were cultivated were coming into fullness 10 months out of 12 months. Wouldn't it be nice round here to have 10 months out of 12 months with all the crops and the farming? And it was the valley of abundance, the fertile plain, the garden of riches, the paradise of Galilee. That's what he wanted them to come into, but he hadn't finished, as we were, within 1.5 minutes. Yeah, we will. They all recognized Jesus and got on their iPhones again and sent word to all the surrounding people. People brought all their sick. What does all mean? Yeah, correct. And they begged him just to let the sick touch the tzitzit, the tassels, the hem of his garment. Malachi says, remember the old Italian prophet, Malachi, the son of righteousness has risen with healings in his wings, tassels. The wings are the tzitzit, sorry about the pronunciation. And all they did was touched this thing, the hem, the tzitzit, all healed. Now, who knows a little New Testament Greek? All right, how do you spell S-O-Z-O? How do you pronounce spell? So-so. Okay. It says here, all who touched him were healed. The word healed is so-so, but there's a preposition in front of it, D-I-A, dia so-so, which means intensity. In other words, not just healed, they were perfectly made whole. So you got a leper that's touched with a bit of nose missing, half an ear gone, fingertips gone, they all came back. Everyone was completely healed. I need to hit something. It's fantastic. Everyone, that's what they were going for. It's the place of abundance. Now, I don't believe that's heaven in home, although it will be. I believe there's a place that we're going to come into, not Passover or Pentecost, but tabernacles. You'll have to think about that. There's a place of abundance amidst all the storm and all the issues going on. God is going to move through his people. And as we heard earlier, there are no second-class citizens. We're all in this together. That's it. We're on transition. Church, we're in transition. Christians, nationally, internationally, transition is happening. The world, so often, I mean, European, aren't you pleased we're not in the Europe? Never mind. I'm not going political, but something is happening out there. What in the world is happening? I'd say what in the church is, something is happening. And God, maybe, in his glorious chess game, is beginning to put the pieces into place. And you and I are part of that. Where are we going to live? Right on the edge. Waiting. You ready? I haven't got anything. Best place to be? Because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He takes us as we are and puts his strength into our weakness, doesn't he? So we're going to finish. Should we finish now? All right, then. We'll finish by praying for the sick. Anybody going to jump off the edge with me? And then we'll go home, and then I'll catch a train, shall I? What do you mean, yes? That's it. Now think about it. I needed another hour for that, but it doesn't matter. There's some seeds sown. You're becoming pregnant with something here. So what I'd suggest, if it's all right, great one, we could get people that need prayer for healing. You're going to have to be quick. No hanging around. Just come out to the front. So many of you mentioned about prayer for the sick earlier. Was I dreaming? It's true, isn't it? I just felt, you don't know what I'm going to say at the end. And I feel like there's some of you here that are going, I want to pray for them. Is that all right? But we can't pray for no one because there's no one out here. Quick. Please. Not quick. You know what? Come on, Lisa. Come on. All right, she's coming, she's coming. Do you want to make a nice orderly, no, disorderly queue? There you are. Can I step on that foot? No. Oh, she was limping. I said, can I step on that foot? She says, you can, it's my back. Is she the joker? She isn't she? What's your name? Oh, no, I've heard about Laura. Yeah, this is Laura. Just the one with the house? Yeah, okay. Oh, the okidome, isn't it? The okidoki. So what I'd suggest we do, you're going to have to help me, you lot. Are there people that are thinking I want to come out and pray? Well, is that all right? Come on then. Well, we're just, come on, Jeff. Come on, Steve. We're just, you're going to pray?
I'll be prayed for too.
But I was going to say, Bart wants both. I just like a bit of greed, don't you?
Yeah.
It's so fantastic. So we'll just get, we need a few more. Come on, ladies, come on. You think I haven't got anything? I say you have. Anybody under 25 that would like to come out with us and just help? Not necessarily say anything, just be with us. Oh. I like that dream, don't you? Where are they? There's two 25-year-olds here. Oh, you all. Oh. Just get round them and just touch them. Lay your hands on them. There must be some more. Anybody else? Quick. You might not have done this before, but you just might be the people we need. Oh, I wish I could look at some of you and pick you out, but that wouldn't be right, would it? No. Are you? Oh, they're praying. Sorry, I'm chatting on you. Is there anybody else? Someone's got their hand on Lisa. We're all right. We might need one or two more. Just come out and join them. Listen, you just need not say a thing, because I feel like the Holy Spirit wants to flood through your hands some of this anointing and power. Come on, that's right. Hey, up. What's this then? Oh, yours? She's fine. Oh, us Christians. She's in the wrong river, isn't she? She's in the Nile. Think about that. Oh, never mind. Right, as they're praying, I'll pray. And let's all just... Now, don't go religious on me. Just keep excited and passionate. You know, close your eyes, open your eyes, stand up, sit down. So as they're praying, we come against. We talked about our words last night being powerful and creative. So we speak words into these dear people and say, in the name of Jesus, we command generational hereditary sickness to be cut off now. We command all infirmity to go. We command sickness. We command this intense tormenting power that does affect the cells of the body. We command that all death would go. And we say, go in the name of Jesus. Aren't you glad it's not Steve Prince? So am I. It's Jesus. There is something. Remember that chorus? There's something about that name. There is Jesus. It's fantastic. And we speak words of healing into them now. In the name of Jesus, Spirit of God, flow through their arms like a river, like a river. Let the power of God, like a flood, flow through. And we say that the same Spirit that raised Jesus up from the dead, that resurrection Spirit, dwells in us and will, what's the authorized word? Quicken, make alive our mortal bodies. And we declare it into them, don't we? Come on in, children, it's wonderful. In the name of Jesus, we draw a line and we command that all this sickness and infirmity go in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. What time do we finish? 12, is it? Yeah, all right. One. Who said one? Is it one? Well, we're there, really. Now, I don't mind a bit of noise. I don't mind you moving on, moving out, doing what you feel you should do, going home, sitting here, do whatever. We'll just continue for a little bit longer. But let's just do what we need to do, shall we? Whatever you feel. It's okay. Just come, Lord. Just come. Suku sapasi kandaba suku. Just come, Lord. Shasupurabasi kiandabasi. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, samahoita sapati paramata. In the name of Jesus, Laura. In the name of Jesus. 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 In the, ooh. In the name of Jesus.